London Calling. David here. We're midstream on a Tom Hooper project. Tom Hooper, Tom Hooper MBE. The initials stand for Member of the British Empire, a terrific honor conferred on Tom a few years ago by Queen Elizabeth in a fairy tale ceremony at Buckingham Palace. Anyway, Tom is one of the brightest stars in the London Walks constellation. 25 years guiding experience, the razor-sharp mind and wit of a barrister, which is what he is. That experience, his excelling at his craft, that's what his MBE was for, services to guiding and tourism. Tom is the gold standard of London guiding. He's at the top of a profession that runs to several thousand individuals in London. More, a lot more, if you count the unqualified charlatans who've muscled in on the act in the last few years and who prey on the gullible. Anyway, yes, we're midstream on a Tom Hooper project. I interviewed him about one of the great classic London walks, the famous Square Mile Walk. No surprise that it turned out to be a feast of an interview. So I've split it into two parts. Part one went out yesterday. Part two will go out tomorrow. In between them, well, this podcast. Listening to Tom talk about the famous Square Mile Walk and his approach to guiding generally reminded me of a British Museum tour of his that I went on, oh, I'm guessing 10 or 12 years ago. Not to put too fine a point on it, it was a tour de force. No exaggeration to say, I was in awe of what he did that day. It was my first first-hand experience of something that only the very best guides can bring off. Tom touched on it, not that specific tour, but the general point that lay behind it, in part one of the Square Mile podcast. I'm referring to the matter of his each and every time getting a feel for, finding out about, reading his group of walkers on any given day, and then tailoring the tour to the measurements, so to speak, of that particular group. Here's what he did that day in the British Museum that impressed me no end, and that indeed I've never forgotten. There must have been about a dozen of us in the group. Right at the beginning, one of the walkers, a British woman, came up to Tom and announced that her son had a school project on the Caesars of Antiquity, Roman emperors, and were there artifacts about them in the British Museum, and if so, could he do a bit on them? Well, I was all ears. How's Tom going to handle this? He said, I wasn't going to. But I'm happy to. It'll put an extra 15 minutes or so on the tour, so let's ask the group if that's okay by them. And if it's not, well, I'll do a little private Roman Emperor's tour for you at the end. That work for you? Well, she was delighted, of course. And in the event, so was the group. They were going to get something extra from this renowned guide. What's not to like? So if you're scoring this like an Olympic acrobatic or high-diving event, it's tens across the board for his opener, the way he handled what was essentially an out-of-left-field request. And then, yes, a solid phalanx of tens for his being able to rise to the occasion, his being equal to the task that had been dropped in his lap. A lot of guides would have had to put hand on heart and say, I'm so sorry, I just don't know enough about the Roman emperors to guide them cold. I'd need to prep that one for a week or two before I could guide it. And right there, the penny drops about how important, how valuable all that experience is. All those years of reading and finding out about, in this case, what's there in the British Museum, and what's special about it. That's why Tom was equal to the task that was sprung on him. A just-starting-out guide wouldn't have been, let alone an unqualified 22-year-old whose tour is essentially taking people to the 8 or 9 must-sees in the BM and having them read the information cards that are right there on each exhibit, and charging people 15 or 20 pounds for that. Well, don't get me started. But the final set of 10 out of 10 scores held up by the judges came on the guiding when we got to the representations of the emperors, the portrait busts and their depictions on Roman coins. He made them so human and so unforgettable, both ordinary, like us, and beyond terrible. Interesting to learn that there were about 70 of them, that the best source was a book called The 12 Caesars, written by a contemporary or near contemporary of several of them, a Roman historian named Suetonius, who, like Tom, was a lawyer. Boy, was I impressed that Tom had read Suetonius. I hadn't even heard of him. But, bears repeating this, again and again, it was the human touch, Tom's unfailing eye and memory for the telling detail. That, for example, Caesar Augustus, the mighty Caesar Augustus, a little man, barely 5 feet 6 inches tall, and that he wore lifts in his sandals to appear taller. He was blonde. He had 7 birthmarks. He softened the hairs on his legs with hot walnut shells. He liked to gamble. That our Claudius, yes, Claudius, who sent an expedition here in 43 AD that kicked off the whole Roman show, 4 centuries of it, on this island. That Claudius didn't just have that physical handicap, he limped. More to the point, he was scatterbrained. Charming, but ever so dim. The foray into Britannia was a success. His attempt to reform the alphabet didn't get off the ground. Anything else? Yes, Claudius was the only one of the 12 who was, how to put this, sexually regular. Not so Nero. Remember him? Nero, the poet and fiddler, who simultaneously had a passion for a woman and a man. Tom said, there's quite a bit in Suetonius about their sex lives. But given that he, Suetonius, wrote a long-lost book called The Lives of the Famous Whores, maybe we shouldn't be surprised that he took an interest in the emperor's sexual predilections. Anyway, chapter and verse. Nero was a sadist. Galba, a doddering pederast. Julius Caesar, a sexual opportunist. Augustus Caesar's taste ran to Roman Lolitas, 13 to 14-year-old girls. And as for Caligula, certifiably mad Caligula, he let the cat out of the bag when he said, "Bear in mind that I can treat anyone as I please." For me, though, the supremely unforgettable one, and I'd never heard of him before Tom took us over to that display case and said, "And as for this gentleman, Domitian, to give him his due, he was an intelligent man, a man of some charm." An intelligent man of some charm who was a monster. He amused himself at first with that infantile pastime of tearing wings off flies. And when he grew tired of that, for flies, he substituted men. What he liked best was to talk of mercy to a nervous victim. Then once the poor wretch had had his mind set at ease, Domitian executed him. We didn't just learn about Roman history from Tom. We learned something stark and dark and terrifying and unforgettable about human nature, particularly what absolute power brings out, what it does to ordinary men in that position. Tom talked about the obsession the Caesars all had with Alexander the Great, who conquered the world, remember, in his 20s. How a youthful Julius Caesar sighed at the tomb of Alexander the Great. How Augustus had the tomb opened and stared long and hard at the conqueror's face. How Caligula stole the breastplate from the corpse and wore it. How Nero called his guard the phalanx of Alexander the Great. Nothing more to add, except that was one special piece of guiding, one of the most extraordinary 15 minutes of my life. And I should think of the lives of the other people on that walk that day. I've long wondered how the Youngster's School Project turned out. Wait, there might be something else to add. Tom told us all of Rome, all of the Roman Empire. These 12 emperors were in everybody's dreams, everybody's nightmares. And yet, poetic and real-life justice, the one thing the 12 Caesars had in common was fear of the knife in the dark. And in the event, at least 8 of them, some historians say 9 of the 12, were murdered. And for a postscript, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Tom for that spellbinding quarter of an hour all those years ago, that textbook example of great guiding.